It's good to be here. The title of this message is I Will, I Will. That is the attitude that I hope that we all leave here with, is the I Will attitude. So look at your neighbor and say, I will. I will. And you're like, uh-oh, I don't know if I'm going to say that or not because I don't know what I'm saying. I will too. So as we go through this, we'll look at it, and we'll be challenged today. Mark chapter 2, if you have your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 2. And we're going to start with verse 1. This is talking about Jesus. It says, when Jesus, had come back to Capernaum several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home, that Jesus was at home. I like the New King James Version of this verse. It says that it was heard that Jesus was in the house. I kind of like that. What do you think? That Jesus is in the house. And that's my prayer for Living Water Church. And as when we built the church on Grassy Lick, on the door mantle, as it you'd go over on the studs there, we wrote on all the studs. It had prayers and verses and all kinds of stuff. I would write on there, may it be said that Jesus is in this house. And so over here, we took, before we laid down the carpet, we brought markers out here. We came out and we wrote on all this floor, all this stuff, all the floor on the concrete. And we was writing verses and scripture and putting stuff down on it. And I'd go to every doorway, every entryway into this place, and I put, may it be said that Jesus is in this house. Because if Jesus isn't in this house, we don't need to be here. Because that's what makes all the difference in the world, is if Jesus is here. It doesn't matter where we're at, if Jesus is there. And so there's a very important reason why there were some guys that took a friend to this place, and it was because Jesus was where? In the house. And so church, may we always focus our attention on who? May he be glorified. May it be about him. And may his presence be felt. And when we come into this place, may we worship him. Now, I know we got a lot of stuff going through. It's been hard. Some of you, your weeks, your months, it's been rough, right? Ever since we moved in this new building, it's like our family's been on in a demonic attack. It's been sickness after sickness. It's been this after that. And it's been rough. Sometimes you just have some rough days. Am I saying that to anyone? Does anybody can relate to that? But even though you may have some rough rides, if you get in the place where Jesus is, that's all you need. And so this morning, you've come to the right place at the right time because Jesus is here. His presence is here. He's moving up and down these aisles, and he wants to speak to you today. No matter where you're at in life, no matter what you're going through, he wants you to know he is here, and he's what you need. And so as we look at this text, we see that it was heard that he was at home, and there was many gathered together so that there was no longer room, not even the door. Boy, I like that, don't you? I like the fact that where Jesus is, there's not enough room. Amen. I like the fact that no matter how big you might be able to build a building and you think you've done something, if Jesus is in there, then guess what? There still might not be what? Enough room. And so when we built this worship area, sanctuary, whatever you want to call it, it looked pretty big. And then here's weeks and weeks and weeks and comes. It's pretty packed. And everybody says what? Amen. Amen, because we're in this together. It's not my way or the highway. You see my way or the highway? You see where this leads you? All alone. But when you're in it together, look what happens. There's a lot that can be accomplished. If Jesus is at the center of it, you want to take people to that place. It was heard that Jesus was at this particular home. And so because Jesus was at this home, guess where people wanted to go to? That home. So they got to the home and they gathered and it was so packed that they couldn't even get in the house and they were surrounding the house and there was no way to get in. And it says that he was speaking the word to them. He was preaching. He was giving them instruction. He was telling them about the kingdom. And they were listening to that. Then we're introduced to this next group of people in verse 3. It says, "And they came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by how many men? Four men." Carried by four men. Now, this paralytic, did he need a touch from Jesus? Yes or no? Now, it took four guys to carry him. He couldn't walk, and so he's on a mat. And so there's four guys that saw a need. They saw a guy who was in desperate need of a healing touch from Jesus. And they cared enough to do something about it. So the first action of "I will," write this down in your bulletin or in your Bible or on your friend's Bible or something, and write, "I will care." Write down, "I will care." I will care enough that I will see the hurting people in my life, and I will bring them to who? To Jesus. I will care enough that I'll even work with other people to accomplish this mission. Now, some of you got these last week, some of you did not. But I want to challenge everyone here to make sure that you grab one of these Mission Possible challenge cards. Because what we're to do is we're to write down a name of somebody that we know who needs Jesus. And we're going to put this either on your mirror or in your car or in your Bible or somewhere where you're going to see it often. Maybe tape it right in the center of your television. Somewhere where you know you're going to see it a lot. And care enough that this year you're going to be intentional about bringing them to who? Jesus. It may take two or three of you to really get together and start praying for this person. Maybe you as a husband and wife, you've got somebody in your family, and at nighttime, before you all go to bed, be a great thing to do, husbands and wives, for us to pray together before we go to bed. And we look at these cards and we pray, "Lord, help us be a family that cares enough to do what we need to do to get our friend to who? Jesus." Now, do you think these four men could have used some excuses not to do it? Now, we don't know how heavy this guy was, but maybe somebody could say, "Well, you know, he's too heavy. It's going to take us a long time to get there. I mean, we're going to be walking for a while, and we got to pick him up, and, you know, I mean, what if we can't even, what if we don't even see Jesus?" I mean, they could have used excuses after excuses. And then when they got to the house and they saw the what? Crowd, they could have been like, what? "Ah, all right, well, sorry, man, we tried." But you see, they cared enough to carry him where he needed to be. Let me ask you this question. Will you care enough to carry your friend where they need to be? Now, what does that mean? Does that mean you got to pick them up and say, "Hey, you know, the pastor, he said that I got to care enough to carry you, so I was going to carry you into church today"? Is that what I'm talking about? No. What am I talking about? Maybe, you know, I just got to brag on some of you here in this church, because some of you do this. You open up your home to somebody that doesn't have a home. You know, you raise somebody maybe as your child that's not even your child. And you care enough to take them to a place where they know that they're going to be in the presence of Jesus. It might mean that you pick up the phone and you call somebody and just say, "Hey, I've just been praying for you this week. Just wanted to let you know I'm praying for you." You know how far that might go? That we care enough to carry them. It might be that we go pick them up. Maybe they're having car problems, and we say, "Man, if you can't get to church, I'll come by and get you." Right? We got little kids, some little kids sometimes that they may want to go to church, but their parents don't want to bring them. And, you know, we got a great children's ministry here. What do you think? Might mean you drop your kids off and then you go make a run and bring some more kids in. Means maybe that you just sense a need in somebody that you meet at Walmart and you begin striking up a conversation with them and you listen to where they're at. And you care enough to carry them. To who? To Jesus. Because the greatest need that we have is who? Jesus. He will give us peace that the world can't offer. He will give us grace that the world doesn't sell. He will give forgiveness to a dying, lost, hurting soul. He is life. And so these four guys, they knew it. They knew it enough that they were determined to get their friend to who? Jesus. So here they go. They're packing him. They're carrying him. You can hear the conversation. Man, boy, I tell you what, you just hang on right there. We're going to get you to Jesus. We're going to get you to Jesus. And when we get him to you, you're going to be fine. How many of y'all got that kind of attitude? That if you know that you can get your friend to Jesus, you know they're going to be fine. And so they bring him and they come to the house and it's crowded and they can't get in. And then let me just pause right here for a moment. We would never want to be a church that creates a crowd that won't let people come what? In. We never want to stop anybody from coming to Jesus. And so what that means is we got to do whatever we need to do to make room for people to come to know who? Jesus. That means you do some maybe crazy things. These guys did some crazy things. Here's what they did. You ready? Some of you heard this story. You know it. Being unable to get to him, to who? To Jesus. Because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. They couldn't get into Jesus, so they said, you know what I think we'll do? I think we'll go up on the roof, and we'll tear a hole in the roof and lay this guy down so they can get to Jesus. I mean, if you're determined to get somebody to Jesus, then guess what you're going to do? Whatever you need to do to get somebody to Jesus. And everybody said, what? Do you not like that kind of attitude? That kind of attitude that says, no matter what I need to do, we're going to take him to Jesus. I mean, how many of y'all think those four guys are some great friends? Huh? Do you think they would be on this team or that team? Huh? This team. Yeah, they were in it together. They knew that they needed to do whatever they needed to do to get more people to Jesus. And so guess what? Here's the question I got to ask us as a church. Which kind of church are we going to be? Are we going to be this kind of a church or are we going to be that church? Huh? Are we going to be a church that will do whatever we need to do to get more people to Jesus? Huh? That's not convincing. How many of y'all like the attitude of the four friends? Just if you don't want to say amen because you think you might, turn Baptist, then don't just raise your hand. Now, if you're afraid you're going to raise your hand, turn Pentecostal, then I don't know what you're going to do. How many of y'all think that it's a great idea to have the attitude of the four friends to say, I will do whatever I need to do to get people to know who? Jesus. Yeah. All right, good. I'm glad you're feeling it. I'm glad you're feeling it because guess what? Living Water, guess what we got to do? Guess what we got to do? We got to make more space. We got to make more space. Okay? On a day like this, I was afraid that maybe nobody'd show up, but we're still pretty full. Okay? Now look around you. You might say, well, there's some empty seats right there. Yeah, that's because our 100 kids just left the room. Okay? Easter is what date? March 31st. We're going to have a 9 o'clock service and 11 o'clock service on Easter, okay? Okay? And then we ain't looking back. We're just going to keep on trucking. Now, I'm humbled and I'm blown away by what we're seeing God do here. I feel personally, and I feel like this as a church, some of you are going to think this is a crazy illustration, but I just can't help it. This is how I feel. I feel like a big old 2-liter bottle of pop that God is shaking up, and he's about ready just to twist the cap off, and his grace just spew out. Some of you have come to me with some prayers and dreams and some thoughts about outreaches and missions that are beginning in the planning and prayer stage, that once they come out, we are going to have tremendous impact and blessing in this community. And it excites me to no end. And I get motivated to think, what in the world are we going to do with the time that we have to make an impact for who? Jesus. None of us know the length of our days. And so my challenge is this, to take this life and let's live it as hard as we can for Jesus, trying to bring as many people as we can to Jesus so that they might be saved and eternity can be a reality. And when they die, they live forever and ever and ever in the presence of who? Jesus. What do you think about that? That's the answer. So whatever we need to do, that's what we need to do. I challenged you all. This card, where'd I go? I keep bending down. This card. If all of us, what if every single one of us have a name of somebody that we love, that we're close to, that is here. And some of you might have some folks that don't even live here, that they end up getting saved and going somewhere. That's great. We're building the kingdom, not this church. But what would happen if every single one of us invited one person to church with him and they came on that Sunday? What would happen? We would be standing room only, and there would be not enough room in the foyer would be full. You got some high school friends that don't know Jesus, don't they? They need to be here. Y'all got some people that you work with, some college students. You got some people that you know. They don't know Jesus. Guess where they need to be? They need to be here. Why? Because who is here with us today? Jesus. Where two or three are gathered in my name, they're what? I am in your midst. Guess what? He's here. He's speaking. Some of you need to be saved today. Some of you are fighting. You're fighting against his grace. And he's wooing you and he's saying, come, I want to forgive you your sin. And you're sitting there holding on and you're resisting. You're thinking of a million reasons why you don't need to come. And I'm asking you today to lay it down and just say, Jesus, I'm here. I want to do whatever you want me to do. I want to give my life up so that you can give me life. And so they dig this hole. They do whatever they need to do to get their friend to Jesus. And Jesus, look at verse 5. If this should motivate you to be one of those four guys. Now watch what it says. And Jesus seeing what? Whose faith? Just the guy in the paralytic's faith? Or whose faith? There. We got any English teachers out there? There. Is that singular? Plural. That means more than one, right? Okay. I did do a little bit okay on English. It means there. It means not just the paralytic man, but it means guy 1, 2, 3, and 4 who brought their friend to Jesus. It says, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, how many of you all believe that your faith can impact somebody else's life? How many of y'all believe that by what you do, by how motivated you are, that you say, I will care enough to notice the people around me that don't know Jesus. And I will care enough to carry them to Jesus. And I will care enough to do whatever I need to do to get them to Jesus. How many of y'all realize that that kind of attitude, Jesus can see that faith? I'm telling you. We're seeing God begin to move in hearts and ways. Becky, good to see you. Hope you get to feeling better because your baptism's coming up soon, isn't it? And we got another one coming up soon. And we got two or three more coming up soon. And Jesus is saving people. That's eternity, folks. That's something that will change someone forever. I don't know anything else in this world that has that kind of investment. I don't know anything that you can do that you can get involved in that will reap those kind of rewards. Whatever you need to do to care enough and to carry them and to take them all the way to Jesus, I would suggest that that's the kind of attitude that we do. And we do it with the faith that when Jesus sees you moving, he says, I see that faith. And because I see that faith, this person here, they're going to be blessed because of your faith. How many of y'all would like to know that you have made an impact on someone for eternity? Greatest thing. And we'll do some things crazy sometimes here in this church. And one thing that I challenge everybody as they go through the new members class. If you have a direct impact on somebody coming to Jesus and you would like to baptize them, and they want you to baptize them, then guess what we give you the opportunity to do? Baptize them. I don't see why I should get all the perks, but I appreciate it. I like it. I love getting in there. If I wouldn't make too big of a mess, I probably would do just a big cannonball in there. Woo-hoo! Yeah! Let's do this. Line them up. It's exciting. Why? Because what that represents is that someone's life has been changed by the power of Jesus Christ. I want to see more people do that. What about you? I want to see some of my friends come to know Jesus. He saw their faith and they said, Son, your sins are forgiven. Verse 6, it says, but some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, and they're not happy or excited that this person gets healed. Isn't that something? Sometimes people don't like to see people get healed. Sometimes people don't like to see people get saved. Sometimes people don't like to see things grow. Well, And so they're sitting there wondering, who's this Jesus? I mean, who does he think he is to say that he can forgive sins? Verse 7, why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? It's a good question. Who can forgive sins but God alone? What's the answer? No one. So guess who Jesus is? He's God. Immediately, Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? He says, which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and pick up your pallet and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home. And he got up and immediately picked up the pallet and went out in the sight of everyone, so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Let me read that one more time. And he got up.
Amen.
Jesus said, arise, pick up your pallet, and go home. And the Bible says that he got up. Whoa, that's awesome. Keep on preaching. I believe I will. Thank you, brother. Amen. He got up. Yeah, there we go. That's something to get excited about. Now, I know some of you were shouting last night when Kentucky squeaked out a win. But he got up. Because Jesus raises people. He heals people. He forgives people. He redeems people. He saves people. There are lost people out there. And when he says, get up, guess what they do? They get up. And he picked up his pallet and he started walking home. That's pretty exciting. Because he hadn't walked in a long time. Some of you haven't lived in a long time. Satan has robbed you of joy. He's robbed you of peace. He's robbed you of life. He's got you chasing things that don't really matter. Some of you are working yourself to death to get more stuff that you can't take with you when you go. And so you get more of this, you get more of that, and it doesn't bring happiness. Some of you go from one person to the next person thinking that's going to solve your problem, and it doesn't. Some of you right now, you're not living, and guess what? He wants to say to you, get up. It's time to live. He picked up his pallet, and he walked home, and he goes out in front of everybody there. It's a full house, all kinds of people, and there he is just walking. What do you call that? Well, I don't know, but back in Eastern Kentucky in Nashland, we call that a testimony. How many of y'all got a testimony? If you've been saved by Jesus, you should have a testimony. You have had an encounter with the risen Lord. And you used to be crippled. You used to be lame. You used to be dead. You used to be hopeless. You used to be helpless. You used to be sick. You used to be all that stuff. But when Jesus came and he said, get up and walk, you became alive. Then you had purpose. You received grace. You had forgiveness. And you had a new walk. How many of y'all realize that when Jesus saves you, he gives you a new walk? This guy had a new walk. And because I've been saved, I've got a new walk. I don't walk like I used to. I walk the way Jesus says to walk. Because I've been changed. And today, guess what? He wants to do that today. He wants to save you and he wants to change you. I don't want to be a part of that team. I want to be a part of this team. You see, this team reminds me of a story I read. It was a short story about nobody. Fred somebody and Thomas everybody and Pete anybody and Joe nobody, they were neighbors. But they were not like you and me. They were odd people and most difficult to understand. The way they lived was such a shame. All four belonged to the same church. But you couldn't have enjoyed worshiping with them because everybody went fishing on Sunday or stayed home to visit the friends. Anybody wanted to worship but was afraid somebody wouldn't speak to him. So nobody went to church. Really, nobody was the only decent one of the four. Nobody did visiting. Nobody worked on the church building. Once they needed a Sunday school teacher, everybody thought anybody would do it, and somebody thought everybody should. Guess who finally did it? That's right, nobody. It happened that a fifth neighbor, he was an unbeliever, he came to live among them, and everybody thought somebody should try to win him, and anybody thought somebody should try to win him, and anybody could have at least made an effort, but guess who finally won him for Christ? That's right, nobody. Boy, what a sad place to be. But here's what pumps me up. We've got a church filled of people who are serious about their relationship with Jesus, and you're like these four guys in Scripture and not those four guys in that story. And I personally want to applaud you and thank you for all you do for Jesus. And I want to say keep doing what you're doing and having that mission and that attitude that we will do whatever we need to do to get more people to Jesus. Would y'all give yourself a hand real quick? Because there's not a lot of places that have that attitude. And you do. Not a lot of places can just put out on a whim, hey, we're going to shovel snow. And then somehow it ends up that it gets done and a scraper gets here. I don't know, however that happened. Awesome. Thank you. There's an impact. You know the series that we did just a while ago? Mission Possible. And we're going through those scenarios that Satan is out there trying to destroy lives. Guess what he's doing? That's real. That's reality. He's out there trying to destroy lives. But Jesus is the answer. He's our hope. And what we need to do is whatever we need to do to care enough and to carry people to Jesus. Praise team, get us ready for invitation as they come and get us ready as we sing, as we come. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to open up the time for you to respond to Jesus. If you need to receive Christ as Lord and Savior today, guess what? This is a great time. You maybe need to come and to praise a family, okay? While we're also having time of invitation and people to come and pray, we are going to be passing out communion, okay? If you need to come and pray and get your stuff right with Jesus first, then do that. We'll give you time to get communion. We'll have it ready up here for you at the end of that. But we want to bid you to come today. We want you to be introduced to a man named Jesus, who was the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And he died on the cross so that we might be forgiven. None of us in this place, none of us, myself included, we're not perfect. And if we don't know Jesus, we're not saved. And so today, guess what? I want to ask you, do you know Jesus? Have you given your life to him? If not, today he speaks and he says, come. Today, we've done all we can to carry, to care, and to tear a hole in the roof so that you may get into his presence. So if you need to know him today, would you come? Maybe you need to come and you just need to pray together as a family. Whatever you need to do,